Well, this year is going to be different and exciting and challenging as we begin the remodeling of our facility. You've seen a little bit of that's happening, and I know you're having to enter on the east side. You can exit east and west, but if you haven't made it, if you're used to parking on the west side, somebody said the other day about you couldn't get over there. I said, no, drive all the way around. We put a whole bunch of more handicap parking places. Yes, ma'am. All the way down that side, and that'll get you close into this entrance right here. And when we have to move down the gym, you'll have handicap parking down there. So just drive on around, and you can park over here and come in real close, and then you can exit out that way after. But there'll be some more changes coming. They think it'll probably be April that we'll have to move down to the gym for a while, but they're going to try to get concrete poured and foundations and steel up before they penetrate the sanctuary and we have to get out of here. So, but you'll start seeing it in a couple of weeks. They probably will tear the choir room off, so it'll be like a big ugly sore on the front there for a while. But it'll heal up and it's going to be real pretty, all right? Think of it like a facelift. You know, you go in and have a little work done, and for a few weeks there, whoo-hoo, boy, you're looking pretty rough. When it's all said and done, as Muhammad Ali said, you're going to be real pretty. You're going to be real pretty. So, anyway, just keep that in mind that something pretty is coming out there after a while. This, it's going to be wonderful when it's finished. It really is. And it's going to be a challenge while we're working on it, but it's going to be all right. And this physical remodel we're going to do is going to serve as the backdrop for our emphasis, our theme this year. We're calling this Rise and Build. Rise up and build. It's a wonderful metaphor for what I believe God wants to do in our hearts and our lives and our marriages and our families and our businesses and our relationships. Yes, we are going to build a physical building during 2017 and remodel things. But more than that, I want us to commit to building the kingdom of God and the kingdom and building our own lives, building our lives according to God's design and God's order. And that's part of what we're going to talk about throughout the year is building our lives, our character, our choices in our family, our marriage, and all of our decisions to build upon God's order and God's principle, God's plan for our lives. There are changes that need to be made in the facilities, and that's why we're doing this. But there are changes that need to be made in our lives and in the way we conduct ourselves. And that's the most important thing. And that's what we're going to talk about over the coming weeks and months. When you think about it, the Bible is a story of builders. God's people building a civilization, building a nation, the nation of Israel. It's a story of God's people rebuilding after attack and exile, rebuilding by God's grace and mercy after sin brought destruction and pain, rebuilding after grief and loss. It's a story of building by faith, a story of building the church, building a community of people living according to the truth of God's word. It's a story of God's people endeavoring to build their lives and their character and build their decisions according to God's word and God's design and God's order. And it has always been a story of God's people building together. This too was part of God's design and plan. We're doing this together. That's why one of the New Testament metaphors for the church, one is that we are a living building made of living stones. He's building up a temple. And so those living stones are all of us put together. And we got to do this together. A stone over there and a stone over here and a stone over there. That's a pile of rocks. But when we put those together and we build them together, knit together, we become a living building. That's one of the pictures we have of the church. But the one we most often talk about is the body of Christ. And that's all of us connected together, all the interrelated parts working so that we are effective and efficient as the body. We're building together. It's going to take all of us building together and working together to build the new facilities. And I believe this is what the Lord's calling us to. And because of that, I'm not ashamed to ask for your help, your financial help and sacrifice to build. Because, again, I believe this is what the Lord's put in our heart to do. And so we're acting in obedience to the Lord. So I believe, and I've told you this over the weeks, I believe we're building for today, but perhaps more importantly, I believe we're building for the future. We're building so the next generation and the next leadership team will have tools in hand to do even greater things for God and for the church and for this community and the kingdom. I really believe that. And because of that, I want to sow into what God is doing. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. And so I want to prepare you. The last Sunday of this month, January the 29th, we're going to have a special day. We'll receive a special offering and we're going to receive pledges for the building project. And I'm asking everyone to start now praying about what the Lord would have you give to help with the building. Nobody's going to call you. Nobody's going to harass you or to check up on you or whatever. But God's going to speak to your heart and we're going to be able to give. So I'm believing God for a miraculous offering on that day. I'm believing God for generous pledges to be made that day. Some of you will be able to give a cash offering. Others will be able to make a pledge to give an amount every week maybe or every month or however you're able to do it, however God leads you. But I believe that God will bless you and enable you. We saw it happen in every building program we've ever had here, that God's people have stepped up, they've given, and God has blessed you in return. And He's multiplied it back in 2000 when we gave to get back in there after the tornado. God has blessed us. I can't begin to tell you the way God's blessed because we gave. And so I challenge everyone to give to see this happen. It's going to be an exciting day and an exciting year as we give to the future and the work of the kingdom. But as important as that Sunday is, and as important as being able to pay the bills and build our building, it's pretty important to pay those bills because the subcontractors, they're counting on that, and we want to be good stewards. But that's not as important. Building a building is not as important as building godly lives and godly families. If we raise enough money to build the building without borrowing a penny, but we don't build the kingdom of God and we don't build godly lives and godly families, we really haven't accomplished anything. We could have built a garage out here somewhere. The point of this is to build so that we can help people build godly lives in the generations that are yet to come. And so I want to challenge you to give and to rise up and build this building because I believe that's what we're supposed to do. But more than that, I want to challenge you this morning and throughout this year to rise up and build the life that God has for you to build and to live, to build the life that He's calling you to have and to live. So rise up and build for the kingdom and for the King and for His church. I want you to turn to the book of Nehemiah, to the first couple of chapters of that little book. You can find Psalms and work backward. Maybe the easiest way to get there. Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. So find it, go that way, and you'll find Nehemiah. Originally, it's Ezra and Nehemiah. Originally, it was one book, really. It was kind of one story. I always kind of laughed our guide in Israel. By the way, if you want to go to Israel with us, get your passport and get your money together. You still got to give to the building fund, but if you want to go to Israel, we're going in May. If you're having to choose between the two, we'll try to go to Israel in two more years, and I hope we'll have the building paid off. But you'd always said Ezra and Nehemiah, and I'd think, you know, we got those as two books. He talks about it like it's a first and last name, but it was always together, Ezra and Nehemiah. Let me just kind of give you a little background here of what's going on and then share some truths with you. The city of Jerusalem has been captured and destroyed by the armies of Babylon. 586 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, came down, destroyed Jerusalem, took captive the people, not only in Jerusalem, but all the surrounding cities. So all this area of Israel and down into Judah, down into Jerusalem there. They carried them all into captivity. This was Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They were part of the bunch in Jerusalem that were taken to Babylon in captivity in 586 B.C. The temple of God that set up on the Temple Mount, the temple was destroyed. The city walls were torn down. The gates were burned. And the majority of the people living in Jerusalem were exiled, carried off as captives, as slaves to Babylon. About 50 years go by. Remember in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar dies and then there's a king named Belshazzar. And remember, it's where we get the phrase, he saw the handwriting on the wall. He literally saw a hand began to write on the wall and wrote these words that we didn't know what, tekel, mini, upharsin, which meant, you know, you've been found in the wanting. I told him the first service, Roger Sharp tried to write a song about that. It was going to be a great song. Many, many, tekel, upharsin, the handwriting on the wall. But we never could get many more lyrics to that. Could have been a big hit for us and it never happened. But anyway. And so, handwriting on the wall, and he says, this night the kingdom's going to be passed to the Persians. So, Darius the king, so the Persians come along, they conquer it. And then a new king, Cyrus and his daughter Miley, they take over the kingdom as Persians. Billy Ray. His family called him Billy Ray. Anyway, so he becomes king. And in his kindness then, he says, I'll tell you what, some of you guys can go home if you want to. And so Cyrus allows then some of the Jews to return to their homeland. The first return is described in the book of Ezra, led by a Jewish guy born in Babylonian captivity by the name of Zerubbabel. And so his assignment is to kind of go back to Jerusalem and get the temple rebuilt. And that's what they do. And sadly, they were counting on the glory of the temple, of the Lord filling the temple. It didn't happen. They kind of wept because the glory didn't seem as wonderful and full of splendor as it did before. But anyway, so they managed to get the temple rebuilt, but that's about it. And so about 50 years go by, and 50 or 60 years, and then another wave of Jewish exiles are allowed to return, and they come back under the leadership of Ezra. He reestablishes the law, the Torah, as the basis for Israel's society, calls for spiritual renewal to get the people's hearts turned back to God. And then finally, about 15 years after that, a third return of Jews from Babylon occurs, about 444 BC, and this one is led by Nehemiah. Nehemiah is described in chapter 1 as the cupbearer to the king of Persia. He's actually more than, it makes it sound like he's a waiter, but he's much more than that. He's actually kind of the chief of staff for the king and the queen. It's a position of some influence in the kingdom. But he gets a letter from home and hears about the condition of the city of Jerusalem. That after nearly 150 years, so after almost 150 years, he hears that the walls of Jerusalem are still lying in rubble, though the temple's been rebuilt, but the walls are still in rubble. The gates are still burned and have never been rebuilt. And the place is a shambles. And this is supposed to be the city of God. It's supposed to be a reflection of the splendor of the God of Israel. And yet when the people in the surrounding nations see it, they think, so that's supposed to be the city of our God? That's supposed to be the city, you know, that's set on a hill or whatever? Look at it. It's in ruins. And so it's a reproach. And Nehemiah is just brokenhearted at the news. So the king notices that Nehemiah is not himself and asks what's going on. And Nehemiah says, let me just tell you, I got this letter from home, Jerusalem, my hometown, is just still in shambles after 150 years. After Nebuchadnezzar sacked the place in 586, it's still a mess. And he asked for permission to go to the city where his ancestors were, where his fathers are buried, he said, in order to rebuild it. The king, whose name was Artaxerxes, said, I tell you what, how long will you be gone? And he gives him an idea. He grants him permission. He gives him an armed escort. He sends along papers to give him safe passage through all the territories where they might have alliances or whatever. And then he gives him resources to supply stone and timber to be able to rebuild, to get the job done. Nehemiah arrives secretly, quietly inspects the walls and gates without telling anyone his purpose or plans. From Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11, here's what he said. I went to Jerusalem. And after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. So the only horse, he gets on it, begins to ride around to examine the walls and the gates. He hasn't told anybody what God had put in his heart to do, but he begins to inspect the walls and the gates. So Nehemiah tells about the different gates that he saw and all this stuff. And finally then, he lets them know what's going on. He calls the city officials and leaders together and says in verse 17, you see the trouble that we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. Let us rise and build is another way that the scripture says it. So the people agreed this was the right thing to do. Now, to me and maybe to you, doesn't it sound a little crazy that almost 150 years had gone by and they had not rebuilt the walls or the gates of the city? I mean, I get it. They rebuilt the temple. In fact, the little prophetic book of Haggai, he was the prophet that was sent to them. They got there and then they started building up their own houses and their own farms. And God sent Haggai to say, hey, What's the deal? You've repaired your own homes and got them going, but you're leaving the temple of God unbuilt. You're not honoring the Sabbath. You're not doing obeying the law. Listen, get in there. Let's get this temple rebuilt. Let's get things put back the way it ought to be. And so Haggai prompts them to do that. And that's Zerubbabel. Zechariah is another prophet that's kind of speaking about that. And so now Nehemiah shows up to say, okay, we got the temple rebuilt, but look at the walls. Look at the rest of the city. 150 years had gone by. Why aren't they doing something? Now, they came to Jerusalem for the feast and the sacrifices, but at the same time, this was a city where God instructed them to build the temple. This was their city, and that means their reputation was kind of tied to this. And Nehemiah was grieved because he felt like God's reputation was tied to this as well. That's why he says, look, let's rebuild so we'll no longer be in disgrace. Because when the nations look at this, they think, well, anybody whose God is supposed to be so powerful ought to at least have walls around his temple and around his city. There ought to be something here. And so he's grieving about this. Why hadn't something been done about the situation? Why hadn't they rebuilt? Well, I suppose there are all kinds of reasons, probably the kind of reasons we'd come up with. No money, no resources, no time. We couldn't afford to rebuild. And I'm sure, again, they were trying to rebuild their own homes and farms and businesses and all that. They figured they didn't have the time or money to rebuild a temple. And then after 50 years, they finally get that rebuilt. But they're thinking, well, I don't have time to mess with the city walls. Or maybe it just didn't seem that important to them. Maybe it was just the way things were in Jerusalem. You know how you do over a period of time that you just finally kind of settle for the way things are? So eventually they were just kind of saying, what do you mean rebuild the walls? You mean there's supposed to be walls and gates? 150 years, all right? That's longer than Tulsa's been here. So somebody says, you know, there used to be a gate over here. A gate? Really? I didn't know that. Oh, yeah, there were walls here, and there was a beautiful gate here. It was very ornate. Really? Huh. And then we just go on, right? Because it had never been there. As long as we can remember, it's just been a pile of stone over there. We thought that's the way it was. There's never been real gates. There's never been real walls there. Why change now? You just kind of learn to accept things. You just kind of learn to go along with the rubble and the destruction. It's true in your house, all right? You walk past that same pile of stuff over there, and after 3 months, you know, you're finally saying, is that laundry? I don't even know what that is under there. What do you think that is? I don't know. Some stuff over there. Some of you I know can't even begin to relate to that. And some of you are going, he's been looking in our house. I went a whole semester at ORU and at the end said to, I was a commuter and we had lockers down there. And I said to the guy I shared a locker with, hey, you know, you got some books in there. And he said, those aren't my books. And I said, yeah, they are. He said, no, those are your books. Really? I was supposed to have read those for some class I was in. I know, I think it was English. I just thought it was his book stuck in the back. We just kind of, stuff's just back there somewhere. You know, we just kind of leave stuff. And that's what they did. Well, it's just rubble. That we didn't know there were supposed to be walls there. We do it in our own lives. Listen to what I'm telling you. We accept the defeat and the sin and the compromise in our own lives. And we just kind of start going, well, that's just how I am. That's just how my family is. That's just how we communicate. Screaming and swearing, that's the way we always have talked to one another. I had a guy in my office one time, beautiful wife, and she was just intimidated by him. And he said, well, you got to understand, I'm Italian. That's the way we talk to one another. So let me just tell you something, Jack. His name wasn't Jack, but anyway, I may have said Jack. Because he was just torquing me off. And I finally said, let me just tell you something. If you talk to me the way you're talking to your wife, I would punch you in the face and throw you out of here. And I'm your pastor. I'm just telling you, that's not how you talk to somebody that supposedly you love and that you're married to. Well, it's just the way I am. Well, then you need to stop being the way you are and man up here, buddy, and speak kindly to this woman. But, well, that's just how it is, you know. And we settle for stuff that there's no point in settling. Well, it's just the way it is. I work 2 or 3 jobs. He stays home and plays video games. I mean, I know he cheats on me. I know, but at least I got a man. That's just how it is. Well, yeah, I go to church, but yeah, I lie and I cheat and I sleep around and stuff. That's just how it is. Yeah, I'm an addict. We've always been. That's the way my family is. Well, no, we never married. My folks didn't marry. That's just the way it is. Or no, we all. I mean, you can go on and on and on. The list can go on. The point is, a whole lot of us are living with burned down walls and gates in our lives. We're putting up with a lot of rubble and garbage and junk laying around, and we're settling for less than God's best and God's pattern and God's design for our lives. We've settled for something. And I want to tell you what, eventually that mound of rubble that used to be a wall, it gets to be too much, but that's just what we've settled for. And God says, we don't want to settle anymore. We've settled for stuff that's destructive. We've settled for sin. Just the way they settled for rubble in Jerusalem. But Nehemiah came along to tell them they didn't have to settle anymore. That God sent him to Jerusalem to tell the people, you can build something new and something better. You can build a new life. God sent him to tell them they didn't have to settle for compromise and just the way things used to be or just the way things are. They could build God's best for their lives. And I believe God sent me to tell you something this morning, that you don't have to live in the rubble of your past. You don't have to live in the rubble of your sin and bad choices and compromise. God wants to see the walls of self-control and discipline and integrity and holiness rebuilt in your life. Because God has something new and something better for you and for all of us. Will you dare to believe what I'm telling you today? Will you dare to believe God that you don't have to settle for sin and destruction and rubble? You don't have to settle for second best in your life anymore. Listen to what I'm telling you this morning. Stop settling for anything less than God's order, God's plan, God's purpose, God's design, and God's best for you and your family and your life. Hallelujah. That's the best preaching you've heard all year long in 2017. It's the truth, isn't it? Why hadn't they rebuilt the walls and gates? I don't know. I can't answer that. And Zerubbabel and Nehemiah and all those folk are dead. We'll ask them when we get to heaven. But I can ask you, why haven't you rebuilt the walls and the gates of your life? Why haven't I rebuilt the places in my life where my defenses are down? You see, when the walls are down in our lives, we're defenseless to the enemy's attack. That's why they built walled cities anyway, was to protect them from intruders that would come in and kill the people and loot and plunder and take everything. We've allowed the enemy to come in and plunder our lives because the walls were down. And we thought we didn't know any different. Doris said it this morning, that we're going to take back what the enemy stole from us. Well, you know what? I'm tired of having to run to the enemy's camp and take it back. I think it's time to build up a wall that he can't get through to begin with. We need to get those walls built back up, the defenses back up. We're vulnerable to temptation. We're vulnerable to the lies of the devil. Why haven't we rebuilt the walls in our lives? Let me ask you, did somebody convince you that you couldn't rebuild those walls? Did stuff get broken down maybe through sin or compromise or, well, I don't know, some attack or something totally unplanned? Wouldn't your fault that you were a victim of something and somehow the walls came down and it just left you paralyzed and you thought, I don't have what it takes to ever build those walls back up? And then the devil began to convince you that you couldn't build those walls back up. You see, when we read on in Nehemiah, we see the enemies of God's people show up as soon as word got out. Nehemiah told them that, and the people said, that's a good plan. Let's get busy building. And the next verse says, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you're doing? They asked, are you rebelling against the king? They showed up and said, well, who in the world do you think you are? Do you really believe you can rebuild the walls? I mean, you know, there's a local authority here. Do you believe you can rebel against the king? Do you believe you can rebel against the way things have always been? Huh? Do you really think you can do that? In chapter 4, Sanballat says, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices again on their temple? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Let me tell you, as soon as you decide, I'm going to rebuild, I'm going to rise up and build, I'm going to start living my life for God, I'm going to build upon godly principles, I'm going to build my life, I'm going to get the walls and the defenses back up in my life, as soon as you start it, there'll be somebody, family member, friend, co-worker, there's going to be somebody that's going to say to you, well, what do you think you're doing? There's going to be some old friend that's going to say, what are you doing getting all righteous up in here? What are you doing trying to act like that? What do you mean you're not going to go out with us tonight? What do you mean you're not going partying, going clubbing with us? What do you mean you didn't get drunk on New Year's Eve? I mean, that's what we've always done. Who do you think you are getting all self-righteous? You're not getting self-righteous. You're just deciding you're going to live your life for Jesus. Some of you are just deciding you're going to grow up and be a man instead of a forever 19-year-old kid out running around. You're 35. Stop it. Just grow up, will you? And do what you know you need to do. Come on. This is good preaching this morning. It may be irritating you, but it'll be over pretty quick and you can go home. Now think about it. When you go home and say to her, I don't much care for that guy and I don't want to go back. She knows what you're saying. I didn't like the way that man talked to me this morning. So, okay. All right. Can't get no help up in here. All right, now we know what we're talking about. Mike, am I telling them the truth this morning? All right, I'm just checking. Who do you think you are? Who told you you could rebuild your life? You see, they're going to start asking, who told you you could get sober and stay sober? Because Dad was an alcoholic and Grandpa was an alcoholic. We've always been. This is what we've always been. This is how we've always done. This is how we've always functioned. This is the way our family is. Who told you you could get sober and stay sober? Who told you you could get your life straightened out? Who told you you could keep a job and work it? Who told you you could get up and draw a paycheck? Who told you could get your marriage problems worked out? Who told you could change? Who told you could raise a couple of $1 million to build a church and remodel a facility in this kind of economy? You can't do this. You can't change this. You can't bring something that's dead back to life. You can't. Listen to what Nehemiah told Sanballat. The God of heaven will give us success. And we, His servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you've got no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. Let me tell you. Sanballat comes in and says, this is how it's going to be. You can't do this and you can't do that. And Nehemiah says, listen to what I'm telling you. The God of heaven sent me here and the God of heaven is going to give me success. And you need to go in, pack your little things and go back to Vienna where you came from, because we're going to build this thing. We're going to do it. And you don't have any say-so. You don't have any claim. You don't have any right to it. So you run along. Don't let the door slap you as you leave. But we're going to do what God told us to do. I may not preach like this next Sunday, but I'm telling you the truth today, all right? The enemy wants to tell you what you can't do. I've come to tell you that you can. I've come to tell you it's time to build and the time is now. I've come to tell you stop believing what you can't do and let me tell you what God says you can do. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things, right, Jeff? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's time for you to get up, rise up, and begin to build. It's time for you to stop settling for rubble of the past and the sins and the mistakes and the bad choices that brought you into this mess to begin with. It's time for you to rebuild what's been torn and burned up and destroyed in your life. It's time for you to repent and turn to God and start cleaning up the rubble and building a new life and building on God's plan and God's design and God's order with God's help. And you can tell the enemy again, you've got no claim to me. I'm doing this God's way. I'm doing this God's way this time, and I'm going to rise and build. We might as well just go ahead. If I'm going to preach this way, turn to somebody and say, I'm doing this God's way. I'm going to rise and build. Go ahead and tell them. They get you on the organ in a minute here, Bryce. All right. Hey. Well, I was sick last week. I'm feeling better now. I've come to tell you that what the enemy told you couldn't be done can be done. With man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. I've come to tell you that the God of heaven will give you success if you'll step out in faith and build and do what He said He was going to do. We're walking in this. I don't know what the economy is going to do. I don't know what's going to happen after January the 20th or anything else. But you know what? I believe God put it in our heart to build and to remodel and to do this. I believe it's the voice of God. The church said yes. I believe God's going to help us raise the money and build this building. I don't care what the economy is, because I believe it's God's time for us and for this church. And we're supposed to do this, and He'll give us success if we'll trust Him and sacrifice. And listen to me, I believe He'll bless you and provide for you as you tell Him, Lord, I'm gonna rebuild the walls of my life. I'm gonna build my family. I'm gonna build on Your promise. I'm gonna build according to Your design and Your purpose and Your plan for my life. Well, I can't imagine. I don't understand. We've never done it that way. We've never lived that way. Well, this is how we're gonna do it now. This is how we're going to do it. I remember a couple came to me. She had gotten saved, came to church and got saved, and she was living with her boyfriend. And she said, we're going to... Anyway, they came in to talk to me, and he said, she's telling me we can't sleep together. We were living together. But she says we can't sleep together if we're not married. And I said, well, that's right. It's what the Bible says. And she said, I'm going to live my life according to God's Word. So she said, we want to get married, and we're going to do this in a couple of weeks. And if he just lives in the house with it, because we can't afford to get somewhere else, he doesn't know where to go. And I said, well, if you're committed to this, yeah, I think that'd be all right. And he stays in there. And so then he looked over at me, and I said, are you okay with this? And he said, yeah. And then he said, let me just ask you, are there any more surprises like this that are going to come up? I said, well, yeah, there'll be a few more things, but probably nothing else quite like this, all right? So maybe not in that one particular area, but yeah, it's when you decide you're gonna commit to living your life according to God's plan and God's order. Yeah, there'll be some changes made, amen? That's what I'm telling you. But it's all right. We're going to tell Him, hey, I'm going to live this time. We're going to do this God's way. All right? You tried your own way. I'm preaching next Sunday sermon. You've been trying to do it your own way. Try it God's way and see what happens. You'll be astonished at the difference it'll make when you start ordering your steps after the Lord and begin to build His way. Listen, let me say it again. I'm here to tell you that this is God's time. Hear Nehemiah's words again. You see the trouble we're in? Jerusalem lies in ruins. Its gates have been burned with fire. But come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. Come, let us build. Come, let us build our families. Come, let us build the kingdom. Let's build for God. Let's build on godly principles. Let's build the walls of our lives back up. Let's rise and build. You see the trouble we're in, and you see the need, and you see the problems, but let's rise and build, and we can put the disgrace of the past behind us. We can build and see the glory of God. Not just a physical building, but again, I'm talking about our lives and our families and our future. Rise and build. And not just out of the rubble of compromise or sin, but God calls us to rise and build out of the failures of the past and the things we tried that didn't work out, and we just threw up our hands and said, well, I blew it and I quit and I'll never try again. And God says, no, rise up and build. You're not done yet. You're still alive. There's still hope. Let's take another stab at this. Run at it again. Let's do it this time. Rise up out of betrayal. Somebody did you wrong, but rise up and build, because God says now is the time. Rise up out of loss and grief and tragedy. It's time to rise and build and let God redeem the pain and the heartbreak. He'll help you, and you can build again. You can do this because, as Nehemiah said, the God of heaven is with us, and He'll grant us success. You say, well, I just don't see how it's possible. I don't see how we can do this. Well, remember that first guy that came back with the exiles to start to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple? Remember Zerubbabel? The prophet Zechariah was a contemporary. Zechariah spoke to him, and it looked pretty overwhelming. Zerubbabel gets there, and it's in ruins, and the temple's destroyed, and he's thinking, what in the world we're going to do? Jerusalem must have looked much worse to Zerubbabel than it did to Nehemiah when Nehemiah got there 150 years later. Because at least the temple was back, and maybe there were some things going on in the city that just didn't have walls or gates. But Zerubbabel looks at it and thinks, man, there's mountains of rubble. I mean, you go up to Jerusalem anyway. It's the high point, and you look up there and think, all I see is mountains of stone and rubble and burned out ash and timber and stuff falling. It looks like it was a war zone. So it looks like Aleppo. I mean, it's just frightening to see all this in ruins. And Zerubbabel was thinking, how in the world am I going to be able to do this? And you know what the Lord said to him from Zechariah the prophet? This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you'll become level ground. And Zerubbabel walks in there and says, boys, it's not going to be by my might or my power or my ability, but the Spirit of God's going to show up here. And we're going to clear this mountain out. And we're going to build that temple. And Nehemiah walks back in with that same kind of vision. Not by my might or not by my power or the power of King Cyrus or King Artaxerxes or anybody else, but by the Spirit of the Lord, we're going to build this. And we're going to do this. And that mighty mountain, it's going to be level ground before us. What I'm telling you is, whatever you're going to face in 2017, don't face it just thinking, I'm going to gut this out. It's not by your might or your power, but the Spirit of the Lord says, we're going to get it done. We're going to get it done. We're going to build a building, and we're going to raise the money, and we're going to get it done, and we'll be in here. I'm counting on that the first Sunday of 2018, and you're going to be standing there with your mouth hanging open, thinking, boy, I'm glad we did this. This is something, isn't it? Because God's going to enable us to do it. And I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't move in here with it paid for in the midst of it. Because God just knows how to be faithful and to show off sometimes when we respond in obedience to Him. Not by my might, not by my power, but by the Spirit of the living God. That mountain that looks so great in front of you, that mound of rubble that just seems impossible to clear away, the Lord says, if you'll trust me and obey, it'll be level ground. That part of your life that you just feel like it seems too much to even think about rebuilding, don't worry about it, because God says He will give you success. The key is, we're going to rise and build. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Look at that. Miracle's already happening. It's 12 minutes to 12, and I've finished the sermon. Glory to God. There are miracles on the horizon. I believe that. That's a prophetic word. I believe that. I'm serious. I believe there are miracles on the horizon. There's something out there. Woo! Hallelujah! There's something out there for you. There's something out there for you. There's something out there for your family. There's something out there for your future, Shirley. There's something out there for you, David. It's not going to stay this way. The rubble's about to be cleared out. The mountain's about to be leveled out. Brian, there's something out there for you. Shauna, there's something there. There's something there for you. We're going to rise and build, and God's going to do something. Michael, a year of increase and blessing. Doors are going to open for you and Marcia and your ministry in these last days. It's greater than anything you've done in the last 45 years. God's fixing to do something out there for you. There's something out there for you. We're going to rise and build, and God's going to do something. Hallelujah. I'm not self-anointed this morning. I'm just telling you, God's saying something to us about what He's going to do. I'm going to ask you to do something for me this morning, and I know we can't get everybody down here or anything, but if God's stirring something in you, if you feel like, yeah, this is my year to rise and build, I'm going to make some changes, I want you to come step out and just come stand here at the front. We're going to just pack in here. You're saying, I'm with you. I heard what you said. That word was for me this morning. Come in close, because there's going to be people coming behind you. You're saying, I need God's success, and I know it's not by might or by power, but it's by His Spirit. Come on. I had everybody in the first service come forward, but I don't think I can get everybody down here. But come on, just come on in. We're not going to be a long time. But come on in. You're saying, I'm ready. I'm telling the Lord, I'm going to rise and build. I'm going to change things. The walls, I'm going to get the walls back up. And the gates that have been burned, we're going to change them. The change is coming. The change is coming. The change is coming. The change is coming for you. The change is coming for you. There's healing coming for you. There's blessing coming for you. Something's about to happen. Something's on the horizon for you and your family. Something's changing for you. Oh, God, let it be. Come on, let's pray this morning. Lord, let it be. Let a change begin to sweep through this place this morning. Let a wave of healing begin to sweep through the bodies and lives of your people here this morning. Oh, God, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord, our God will give us success. We've heard too many voices telling us what we can't do. I'm saying what God says we can do. We can build. We can build the walls of our life. We can serve God. We can say no to sin. We can break addiction and bondage. We can walk in freedom. We can do what God tells us to do. We can build our lives on your order. We can build that business. We can build that practice. We can walk forward in faith. We can. We can, we can. We will rise and we will build. It's what you call us to today. Oh God, there's miracles on the horizon. Help us to look out and see it today. There's health and strength for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. There's blessing for us. There's blessing for our families for 2017. I pray every business is blessed because of the people in this house that are going to work there. Every boss, every employer that's here, I pray blessing and favor upon his business, upon her business. This year there'll be increase. There'll be more sales, more clients, more people, more income coming, and they can bless the kingdom of God with it. I pray that every business that has an employee in Carbondale Assembly of God is going to be blessed because they're going to live and order their steps by the Word of God. We're going to build on your design and your plan and your purpose. God, let your blessing be rich in 2017. Let the blessings of God come as we endeavor to build your kingdom. Let it be in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we can't do this on our own, but we'll do it. We'll do it by faith. And the Spirit of God will be upon us. And the God of heaven will give us success. We turn our back on the enemy. We turn our back on every enemy that stands against the purpose and plan of God, the call of God. And we say yes to the order and design of our King. Hallelujah. Oh, let it be for us today. Let victory be ours. Let success be ours and triumph be ours in 2017 because we walk in obedience to you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. You stir that in us, Lord. Keep it stirred in our heart that there's something more. There's something out. There's miracles on the horizon. I'll say it again, Lord. Let that be implanted in our mind and spirit this morning. There are miracles on the horizon, and we're walking towards them, and they're coming at us. Hallelujah. Oral Roberts used to say, miracles are coming at you and past you. We just need to open our eyes to God's provision and His plan. Dare to believe. And reach out and receive what God has for us today. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Today. We can build. We can do exploits in the name of Jesus because His word is true.
Yes, it is.
We can follow it to the letter and know that He will supply every need according to His riches in glory.
Yes.
Not ours, but His riches that are full and free and flowing for the children of God. He set before us an open door that we can correct our bad behavior and move into a new place in God and search our spirit and search our heart to see where we're going and what we're meeting. And this week, there's been historic things happen in the nation when we touched Israel.
Mm.
And so God will defend His people Israel. They are the apple of His eye, and He will not fail them. So the God that we serve, when He corrects us, it'd be good if we'd sit up and listen and correct our behavior and walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Well, come on. All right, Lord. All right, Lord. So we've had a little course correction there. The Holy Spirit speaks to us this morning that we need to pay. Let me say a word about that and what the Holy Spirit said there about the thing about Israel. We're not. I can't expect the president. I can't expect the world to understand, nor will I expect anybody, nations or whatever, to repent. That's not what they do. It's the church's role to be able to say, Lord, bad move. We repent. And here's where we stand. Here's the stand we take, that we'll stand with Israel. Because that's what He said. I'll bless those who bless Abraham and his seed, and I'll curse those who curse them. I understand about the Palestinians, that God bless them, and I'm sorry for the Christian Palestinians that suffer, and I pray for them, and there needs to be justice and righteousness and all that kind of stuff, but there's a stand that we take from a biblical kind of standpoint, and so I understand that. But we need to make sure that we do the repenting. And we need to repent of our own hearts and lives. We need to make sure, listen, we can shout and feel good here about, yeah, there are miracles on the horizon and all that stuff. But if we keep building with the same garbage we've been building with, and if we keep walking in sin and not building our lives and ordering our steps after Him, we're going to find ourselves in 2018 saying, that didn't work out the way I expected, did it? Because we kept building with the same flawed design. Until we start building in obedience to God's Word, we're going to be in trouble. The sad story is that by the time they got those walls rebuilt and the gates rebuilt, by the end of the story, Nehemiah is standing out there saying, we got the walls back and we got the temple back, but you people are out there selling and neglecting the Sabbath, and you're not pleasing God and you're not honoring Him. The victory comes because we live in obedience to His Word. That's what He calls us to. Amen. 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 So, Lord, we repent of our sins, and I pray for forgiveness for this nation. God, help us to change course and to make sure that we stand with Israel in the days ahead, because it's what the Scripture says. It's not politics, it's Bible, and we stand upon the promises of God. May Israel have the heart to do what's right and just for all of its citizens, Arab and Jew alike. But Lord, we pray for this nation to have the wisdom to do what's right, and we repent in any way that we contribute to those things and sins. And Lord, in a personal sense of our own heart and life, we repent of our sins, and we declare this day, this first Sunday, this first day of 2017, that with Your help and the help of the Holy Spirit, we will walk in obedience to Your Word. We'll build our lives upon the steadfast Word of the Lord, and You will lead us and guide us, Lord. We'll walk not just in a path of repentance, but we'll walk with Your mercy and grace upon us. We will rise and we will build, and God of heaven will give us success, and we will rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give a shout of praise to the Lord this morning. Lord, thank You for victory that's ours, that we say yes to You. Yes to what You want to accomplish in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. Amen.